Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I'm your host, Ken Molman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network.
Oh, well, that was abrupt.
and, as mentioned, this is Liberty Unbridled. I'm your host, Ken Molman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network. Got a show lined up for tonight that I think you'll enjoy. If you're listening live and would like to call in during the second half of the show, you can do so by calling area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. Again, that's the second half of the show. Co-host Dave should be joining us tonight as well, and look forward to hearing from co-host Dave. It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked to him. And without further ado, let's begin the show with what we always begin the show with, which is the randomly generated political rhetoric from the political rhetoric generator. This week's randomly generated political rhetoric is making donations from healthcare bureaucrats, terrorists, and Chinese factory workers. I don't know. Somewhere there, that almost doesn't seem funny. It seems like it might be true, but anyway, let's see here. Our random correlation tonight, the correlation, we do this segment to show that causation and correlation are not the same thing. Random correlation tonight, continuing our theme about the war on women, we have that there is a direct correlation between females in Wisconsin who slipped or tripped to their death, correlating with online revenue on Thanksgiving. Obviously, buying stuff on the internet causes women to die. No, not really. But again, this is the whole point, is that causation and correlation are two very different things, and causation is a much higher standard. And so we'd like to hammer that home. Obviously, people buying stuff on the internet on Black Friday has nothing to do with women in Wisconsin slipping or tripping to their death. Economic news that's out. Everything's great and happy, shiny. Ooh, look, unemployment's down again. Sure it is. Yeah, the modified government employee or employment numbers are saying everything's great, stupendous, wonderful, super. Nothing wrong here, nothing to see. Everything's happy, hunky-dory, great. And then you go out to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and you actually look at the labor participation rate, and we have hit a new low. We have not been this low since February of 1978. We are now at 62.7% of those who could be working are actually in the workforce. And so the economy has not improved. We've known that for a long, 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 long time. And it'll be interesting to see what the election does for it. I don't know if things get better or worse, depending on who gets elected. I don't really see a difference at this point. I think things are kind of frozen in time, but I don't think anything's going to radically change to make it that, oh, well, you know, if somebody else wins this, well, then obviously they're going to win this and that'll make the economy better or something like that. I don't see any of those issues out there. So as far as I'm aware, no matter who wins the election, it doesn't really matter. Let's see here. Speaking of employment, this is something I've had kind of hanging out a few weeks, and I wanted to get to with this. It's a story about things employers actually look for when they're hiring recent graduates. And this is very relevant because there are a whole lot of recent graduates who just aren't able to make it. I mean, I've got a lot of friends who went to school, got degrees in legitimate, fields, not underwater basket weaving or, you know, anything like that. These are people that went and got real degrees, and they can't get a job. And their story is not uncommon. It's not uncommon at all. And it's no mistake. It's no wonder that they feel betrayed, that they're left with all of this debt from their student loans, yet can't get a job. Because they were told, hey, go to college and you'll get a good job. And what they, you know, got instead was they went to college and couldn't get a job. And that's a problem. So what employers want by industry, by the number one thing that employers want is experience through internships. And that's pretty much across the board what they want the most. The business community likes to see that you were employed during your time in college about as much as internships, which is, I guess, really the same thing if it's a paid internship. The healthcare field, they want to see college major is relevant and that you're employed during college. But internship, again, pulls away from there. I mean, pretty much it's all the same things, right? They want to see that you've been employed your entire time at college and that you've done internships. And as a tertiary thing, they want your college major to be relevant. College, like I do, or, you know, someone who's about to graduate, get those internships. Those internships are gold. And that is the number one thing that employers are looking for. And, in fact, I know a handful of folks personally that, you know, actually ended up at a full-time, long-term full-time job that started out as just a simple internship during college. So internships do work, and just, you know, keep that in mind. Oh, let's see here. Other random news. The e-cigarette stuff. This just makes me mad. And I apologize, folks. I'm still getting over this horrible cold I had last week. It's that nasty upper respiratory virus, the EV68B or whatever the heck that thing was. That's a kick butt cold, man. It kicks you hard. And so I'm still getting over this thing. And I apologize. So when you hear me sniffle, that's what's going on there. I apologize. The health Nazis, and I call them that with all the love and affection you can give to a health Nazi, the health Nazis are teaming up, rather wittingly or unwittingly, with the big tobacco companies to push to ban e-cigarettes that are the refillable, custom do-it-yourself type e-cigarettes. The tobacco companies have gone out and bought a lot of the what they call cig-alikes. Those are the ones that actually look like cigarettes, the ones that when you do a draw on them, they fire automatically, and they have an LED at the end that's usually green or blue. A few of them are red, but most of them are green or blue or whatever. And they look like cigarettes. That's why they're called cig-alikes. And so Big T owns the cig-alikes almost overwhelmingly. And the health Nazis want all e-cigarettes to go away because they're offended by anything that looks like smoke. It freaks them out. They hate it. Oh, my gosh. Ah, danger. And they've got now a few studies that they've tried to piece together that basically are all about, well, the molecule size of e-cigarettes is still bad for you because of the molecule size and blah, 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 blah. Whatever, man. The ingredients in e-cigarettes are all fit for human consumption. And the ingredients in e-cigarettes are in many foods. So if you've ever cooked food, you've inhaled these ingredients. And well, they'll say, well, you know, not in that concentration. I mean, concentration is, wow, that's so much more than when you cook. That's bad. Well, wait a second. I thought that concentration never factored into your stuff there, dear health Nazi, that the single whiff of secondhand smoke was just as devastatingly set for a fate of death than someone who hung out in the smokiest pool hall you've ever seen for their entire life. They try to say that there's no difference. And I've gotten into arguments with these folks before, and it makes me really mad that concentration and exposure levels, it does matter. Concentration and exposure levels do matter. And they're right. The amount of vaporized vegetable glycol, or propylene glycol, or the flavoring, those are in higher content, and for that matter, the nicotine is in higher content than what you would normally get cooking. And that's the dirty little secret nobody wants you to know, is that, you know, tobacco is not the only plant with nicotine in it. Oh, no. And in fact, there are a lot of, but there are a handful of companies that are specifically experimenting with getting and deriving their nicotine solely from non-tobacco sources. They're looking at things like potatoes and green bell peppers. Bell peppers is the other one that they're looking at. There are a few others that also contain nicotine. And so what's happening now is you have a push from the e-cigarette people, the health Nazis want all of them banned, and Big Tobacco wants everything but what they own banned. So there's going to be a push this coming year in Kentucky's General Assembly to ban the do-it-yourself home-baked remedy, which, you know, they sell kits and all that stuff, and that's, by the way, been using since May of this year, May 22nd. I have not had a cigarette since my last one was May 21st, the night of the primary. I feel better. I'm not going to kid you. It is a lot better for you than smoking. And actually, for now, until they try to tax the snot out of it, it's cheaper than smoking. So it's cheaper and better and makes you feel better. And, yeah, that's why it obviously needs to be stopped, because we're going to be cutting into Big T's profits, and we're actually going to be, like, doing the thing that the health Nazis want, which is quitting, but you're not buying it from their approved suppliers and their NRT, which is nicotine replacement therapy, by the way, NRT approved scenarios. So, you know, you're not taking the mind altering drugs that, you know, increase suicidal behavior. Although, hey, got a new thing now that says, oh no, that whole thing where it makes you crazy, that was overblown. Sure it was. Whatever. But the problem is now you've got both of these groups attacking a common enemy, which is the e-cigarette that you can get and put together yourself and modify yourself and make it the way you want it and to the flavor that you want. Oh, they're real big after the flavors. They definitely hate the flavors. The reality here is it's very simple to solve any of the other secondary and tertiary problems with e-cigarette sales, things like youths and all that. I think we did pass the law to make it illegal to sell to kids. That's good. Anyone under the age of 18, you know, much like alcohol, I support, you know, making it, lowering the drinking age, but 18 is that line. 18 is the line in our society that we've decided is the delineation mark for adulthood. So once you're an adult, you're responsible for your own actions. Government ain't going to protect you no more, or it shouldn't. And as a result, that's when all that should happen. So anybody under 18 should be, anyone under 18 should be prohibited from buying e-cigarettes. The flavors and all that stuff, that's all just silliness. I mean, the reality is it's got to taste like something and, you know, whatever. All the stuff in it's naturally occurring, but that's what's going to happen, is two big lobbyists are going to gang up on what is the most popular mechanism today to quit smoking. Let's see here. Other miscellaneous things. That's silly. I don't even care about that. Story about how handouts corrupt governors. That's true. Handouts corrupt governors. When you have to take a handout from the feds, when there's free money out there, you feel compelled to take it. A good example of that is in Ohio, where originally John Kasich, the current Republican governor, said he would not implement Obamacare, ended up taking a whole bunch of government money and implementing Obamacare in Ohio, much to the chagrin of many Ohioans. These are the things that the feds do to coerce states into doing things that the feds can't legislate. Seatbelt laws were a good example of this, where the feds were not able to put seatbelt laws in. So what they did was they said, that's fine. If you don't put seatbelt laws in, Mr. State, we will just hold back some or all of your transportation money. The drinking age, the DUI level, same stuff, right? For that matter, the smoking age was tied to federal highway dollars back in the 90s. Like, that made any sense at all, other than it was a known way to force states to comply. And that's what it's really about. Force. They throw it out there like a grant money. Wave it out in front of you. The reality is a chunk of that money that's being given out in grants came from your state. It was money taken out of your economy, your state's economy. And the only way to get it back is to do what the feds tell you to do, to dance like a puppet. And the feds, oftentimes the bureaucracy, but also the legislature, are the ones that are the puppeteers. Even if you like what's coming out of D.C. now, for some reason, I guarantee you in the future, it'll turn the other way, and you won't like what's coming out of D.C. then, because that's how it works. And that's one of the things, being a libertarian, that I've come to realize is that, sure, there's things I'd like to see changed, and sure, I think people are stupid for doing certain things, but if I force my way on someone, then someone's going to turn around and force their way on me later. And that the best thing we can do is leave each other alone and let the consequences of our actions dictate and teach society what to do going forward. Accountability is the number one teacher of all things. If I'm held accountable for my actions, then I'm the one who's responsible. I'm the one who has to think, boy, should I do that? I don't know. But if I'm not accountable, then who cares? And so accountability is absolutely key. And that's the right course of action. And putting it into the federal government and then having the federal government do edicts from on high, from thousands of miles away with no visibility or really any mechanism by which to even really measure the specific instances, the specific problems in your county, your city, your neighborhood. They don't know. They can't know. It's impossible. There's like 3,100 counties in America. There is no way. There's no way that the feds can actually know what's best for your community. It's not possible. It's not possible. That's why those types of programs, not only are they offensive to me because it's force, but they also fail. They fail because they're taking it too high of a level. When you look at things in the macro, well, you know, 53% of people want this. Well, great. But it might be that it's just 100% of people over in this area and like nobody anywhere else, and it averages out to 53. And that's the problem. All right. I'm going to get off that because otherwise I'll stay there. Speaking of problems, this is one that is growing. Ebola. I'll tell you what. I don't get it. I don't understand why people with Ebola or people who are in countries where it is known that Ebola is loose are being permitted to come to America. It's dumb. Disease. It's dumb. Even most libertarians agree, though we are primarily open border policy people, that one of the categories you want to keep out, one of the things that most libertarians agree, and in fact it is in our national platform, is, dude, if you got some weird, crazy, horrible disease, stay where you're at. We don't want it. Yet somehow government can't even figure this out. I mean, the reality is that government, the federal government should have very few roles. One of those roles is, quote-unquote, protecting the border, right? And what does protecting the border mean? Well, protecting the border means making sure that there's not an actual invasion of the country, legitimate invasion, you know, guys with guns trying to take territory or property. But one of the other things is keeping sanity for immigration. And libertarians are pretty darn open about this. I mean, you know, my whole approach on this is, man, if you want to come here and live peacefully, that's great as long as you pass this small little checklist. Small little checklist. Number one, are you a criminal? And when I say criminal, I don't mean you stole a pack of gum 45 years ago. I mean, dude, are you like jacking cars and doing really bad stuff? We don't want you, right? Sorry. You can feel free to jack cars in your own country. Come on, the list is, dude, do you have any infectious diseases, things we don't want in our country? Ebola is one of those things. And it's amazing to me how poorly the entire world community has handled this outbreak. In the past, you would have just declared a quarantine on that country and said, listen, we're not coming out. You're not allowed to come to us. You can go where you can go. You can stay in your home country. You can try to find somebody else who will take you, but you're not coming here. And that's a pretty smart policy, really. Now, I put forth that were it not for limited liability of corporations, that if the airlines, whether knowingly or negligently, brought someone with Ebola to the United States, that they would be held civilly liable. And with civil liability, you know darn well that one of two things would happen. Number one, the airlines would institute some sort of screening process when coming from a country with Ebola to verify that those people do not have Ebola, which would in turn increase the cost of the flight and everything else, which, yes, it would. And that would also reduce the overall number of people that are able to come. The second thing, and the more likely thing, is that the airlines would say, you know what, it's just not worth the risk. It's not worth it, man. Why in the world would I intentionally cause liability problems? You wouldn't. It'd be dumb. You see, I have no problem with corporations at all. None. I think companies do great things. They innovate. They're people working together for a common cause. Great. But when we afford corporations special rights, now, for instance, if I negligently or intentionally spread a disease, I could be personally liable for that. But corporations can't be. Why? That's my problem with it. The issue solves itself if the corporations are actually liable. If they're liable for damages in a civil proceeding for spreading Ebola, they'll stop immediately. Anyway, that's that piece of it. I got a couple more things here that I want to get to before the bottom of the hour. Switching gears completely. Lawsuit. By now, most of you are probably aware, unless you live in Louisville, but even then, if you watch WHAS in Louisville, if you read the paper in Louisville, you don't even know that David Patterson's running for office. But if you have been paying attention, David Patterson's campaign, along with the National Libertarian Party and the Libertarian Party of Kentucky, are suing Kentucky Educational Television. And the reason that they're suing them is because of the criteria changes that occurred that were specifically created to keep our candidate out of the debate. And they were. Now, KET is trying, and they're very careful to parse the way they're saying it. And it really entertains me when they do it this way. They say that they were not singling out a single, you know, an individual candidate. They're very careful to say that it's not that they weren't trying to filter candidates out, it's that they just weren't focusing on one person. Oh, so you were trying to get rid of two people. And in fact, that's what their email says, that they were getting rid of a ballot-listed candidate and a write-in by changing the criteria. And everybody knew what they were doing. Everybody knew what was up. And the real problem is that Secretary Grimes and Senator McConnell were invited under one set of rules. They were invited. to participate under one set of rules. And then the rules were changed for everyone else. And they specifically and intentionally kept that rule change quiet so that no one would know how to get over the hurdle. Done is wrong. Now, you may talk to people, you yourself may not be a David Patterson supporter, and that's fine. But what happens the next time? Because if this behavior is allowed to continue, what happens the next time when it's your candidate, the person you support? What happens? Now, the original thresholds that KET set were pretty solid. It's no easy feat. And in fact, most of these thresholds in the past used to be 5%. That used to always be the threshold. Because libertarians would typically poll at about 4% and actually get about 2.5% to 3%. And so it was done on purpose. Well, now libertarians are getting higher results, and we're pretty consistently tapping 5. We're right there at 5 now as a result, and we're polling 7, 8, well, in David Patterson's case, 9% in one poll. They're just raising the bar. And what's more egregious about it is that KET is a state-sponsored television station. They are an arm of the state. Whether they want to be or not, they were created by an act of the Kentucky General Assembly. They are an arm of the state. They are. And so you have state media intentionally filtering candidates. And I personally believe that this is just yet another hurdle, another burden placed on third-party and independent candidates beyond the already ridiculous threshold that we have to reach to even get on the freaking ballot. D's and R's need 2 signatures. We need 5,000 signatures minimum. That's 2,500 times as many signatures to get on the ballot. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So that's why the suit was brought. Because there was talk of not bringing the suit. And what was decided was, you know what? If we don't bring it, who will? That was the decision that was made, because it needs to be brought. And quite honestly, it's funny. Tomorrow, we're going to have rulings on the first motions. And, of course, KET's lawyers are trying to get out on the technicality because, quite honestly, I don't think the law's on their side. And I think their lawyers know it. You can't change the rules in the middle of the freaking game. You can't invite one set of candidates and then change the rules to make it so that nobody else can get invited. And that's what they did. So we'll see tomorrow. And assuming that the motions, the procedural sillinesses fail, then Thursday will be an in-person oral arguments hearing on the entire thing. And so we'll see how this plays out this week. But the case is in Franklin Circuit Court, or Franklin Circuit for the, it was filed in Franklin County. It's in U.S. District Court. So that's where it's at. Motions Monday, and in theory, oral arguments Thursday. It's kind of funny, and I want to mention this real quick before the break. We have been talking about this to lots of people, and we're actually starting to get back to people of, well, you know, who cares, man? I mean, why do you care? Your guy can't win anyway. Well, part of the reason he can't win is because everybody says he can't win. Even the people that want to support him say, well, I'd support him, but he can't win. Man, 53% of likely voters say that neither Democrats nor Republicans represent Americans. That's over half of the likely voters this election cycle say that they don't think Democrats or Republicans actually represent American interests. Want a third party. 58%. And if all those people actually stood up and said, here, you know what? I don't even agree with everything this guy says, but at least it's something different. At least it's not the same bogus BS lies that we're told every single 2 years over and over. The biggest lie, of course, being this is the most important election in our lifetime. My God, if somebody ever says that to me again, I will smack them silly. We've been hearing that garbage for 20 years. Probably more. This lesser of two evils thing has to stop, people. And at some point, you have to be strong enough to overcome the fear and to do the right thing. Because if we get enough people to overcome the fear and do the right thing, then change will actually happen. We will force their hand, if nothing else. You don't have to win to win. And that's the dirty little secret of politics. You don't have to win and elect to win the bigger picture. Because when you start doing better and better and better, you force the hands. You force the hands of those who simply are there for power. And make no mistake, most of the elected officials, yeah, they're sociopaths. All right, folks, we've got a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. Co-host Dave, I see we've got people in queue. We'll get to your calls as well. Folks, you are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters Radio Network. Stay tuned, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Try to forget all this mess I'm in. I can stand there. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, folks, we're back. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters radio network. And without further ado, I'm going to bring on co-host Dave. Co-host Dave, how you doing, sir?
Hello, I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I'm getting over this horrible cold thing, the death virus that CNN took 22 paragraphs of a story to finally get to the symptoms of, before 21 paragraphs of panic and fear and the world was coming to a close. This obviously was before the Ebola scare, because that wasn't really scary enough, so then we had to have Ebola. But I'm over the horrible cold thing, and life's better.
Yeah, you got to quit vaping.
Yeah, whatever. yes. So, anyway, we have a caller in queue here, and I believe I'm going to bring him in here real fast. This is our friend Randolph. Hey, man, how's it going?
Hi, Ken. It's going good, man. I'm keeping up on what's going on with the lawsuit here, and I'm kind of shocked to, everybody at KT's pulling this on David Patterson.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I have a feeling that it wasn't necessarily their decision per se. There's been a handful, in my dealings with KET in the past, there have been a few folks over there that have wanted to filter candidates, but they've never done it until this year.
I know a couple of them. Yeah, one of them was probably the person who invited me in the first place the day that I actually filed 2 years ago.
So, probably so. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I won't mention her name, but I think we both
know
who
you're talking about.
We're talking about. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes, the one that's in charge of inviting people. Yes. I tend to agree that that's probably one of those voices. There's been a handful of folks over there that were interested in filtering, and others that were like, no, it's all good. To his credit, Bill Goodman, I think it was, in the email train was the one that said, hey, we like having different candidates. I want to make sure we don't get too wild with this policy because there are candidates we like to have in here. And he specifically cited Gatewood as one. And so when they set their criteria, originally, the goal was to make it so that people like Gatewood could get through. But what happened was through time, as they continued to crank it down and crank it down and crank it down, they thought that they were still including Gatewood, but actually not even Gatewood, who ran for office like every 2 to 3 years for the last 30 years, would have never made it. The rules they've created now mean no one makes it except for D's and R's.
I think I'm really convinced now that the whole thing, why KET is shutting out the independents, it's my fault because they let me on 2 years ago and I showed everybody the emperor has no clothes.
I mean, I don't know if it was that per se, that single instance. The other mitigating factor we have in this particular race as well is that one of the write-in candidates is basically a Nazi.
Yeah. And that's not cool.
I mean,
no.
And I shouldn't say Nazi. What I should say is correctly an anti-Semitic person. The views that they have expressed would typically be considered anti-Semitic. And I think that that's the other driving factor. But it's a very strange thing, and there's some other stuff behind all that I don't even want to necessarily get into yet. But I'll tell you, it's amazing to me.
Well, you know what? I think Robert Ransdell is actually, you were right. I think that he is a plant in this because they want an excuse to shut out independents and say, well, we don't want people showing, pictures of aborted fetuses on TV. We don't want people espousing views of anti-Semitism and neo-Nazism on TV. You know, we want to keep this thing fair, but at the same time, we want to control the message.
Right. And my real concern with it is that it is viewpoint filtering. I mean, the reality mm-hmm. is there is a small percentage of people out there that believe that, you know, that tagline about, you know, Jews, right? And there are a small percentage. And while I do not hold that view, and while I condemn that view, it's also politics. And in political speech, that is where we have the most freedom. And we need to cherish that freedom because...
Well, freedom of the press doesn't necessarily mean that we have a free press. We have a controlled press because you remember when Patterson appeared at UK on Constitution Day and mm-hmm. Robert Ramsdell was there with them? Harold Leader made it a point to say, oh, Robert Ramsdell makes all these kind of anti-Jew comments at UK's Constitution Day, and they made a point to say that he was the only Senate candidate representing, made no mention of the fact that David Patterson was in it.
Well, and part of that was because, UK actually held their Constitution Day stuff over the course of 2 days. So David mm-hmm. was there the first day, and the write-in was there the second day. And so I don't think the Herald Leader actually knew what was going on, you know, and I don't blame them for that. Now, to be fair, the Herald Leader has been very good about reporting on what's going on with the lawsuit and keeping track of all this as well.
I give you a point of reference on how wrong the Herald Leader can be sometimes. The reporter covering the UK South Carolina game put her comments in autofill and basically had a Google widget just fill in the scores for her after the game. Oh, Kentucky had a disappointing loss and a lackluster performance in their 45-38 loss to South Carolina. That was printed in today's Herald Leader. In today's Herald Leader. That is how inaccurate the papers can be sometimes.
Well, and I guess the point there, perhaps it's ironic, perhaps not. You know, the Herald Leader, from print media standpoint, the Herald Leader's been the one that's been the best on this. At WFPL, Philip Bailey was the best on radio at this. Now, Philip Bailey has just left WFPL, so now I don't know if we're going to get anybody friendly in radio or not.
That story's reached the San Francisco newspapers, by the way.
Yeah, I've seen some of that. So,
yeah.
The the point, I guess, and I want to give co-host Dave some time to talk here too. Dave, you want to chime in on this topic at all? On the KET lawsuit?
The only thing that I have to say about it is people are mentioning this, and I've heard it here as well, that this is some horrible affront to David Patterson. And it's true that, you know, what they're doing to this specific candidate is wrong and, you know, bad. But the affront that, you know, this represents to David Patterson specifically is nothing compared to the insult to all Kentuckians that is represented by what KET is doing.
See,
I agree.
When I was on KET a couple years ago, my comments were not anti-Semitism, but they were almost just as bad to the conspiracy because I talked about doing away with the Patriot Act, talking about doing away with health management organizations, HMOs for healthcare, real healthcare reform, doing away with the bans on gay marriage, and showing everybody what clean coal could be by proper filtration with limestone and aqueous ammonia for the CO2 emissions. The conspiracy doesn't want people to know these things.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's Randolph, to the broader point, right? Mm-hmm. What you brought to that debate, what we bring to the debate, what other candidates have brought to the debate are alternate viewpoints that should be considered. The real problem we have today is exactly as you said, the message is now controlled. It is controlled by the Democrats and Republicans, and they control the message. They set the tone. And if you deviate from the script, nobody wants to talk to you. And Patterson's campaign, just like yours, has never been about, you know, talking about what the other folks in your race are talking about. It's you set your own agenda. You set your own topics. They are relevant topics, need to be discussed. But the media doesn't even want to start to dig into those things. My real problem with it more than anything is the insulting way it's written is all these media outlets never, ever mention that, hey, there's six candidates, three ballot listed, three write-ins in this race at all. They literally make it sound like there's only two candidates. And they beat that into people's heads over and over and over. In the race against McConnell and Grimes, in the race between McConnell and Grimes, over and over and over and over and over. And then people say, find out that there's another candidate. In fact, then they find out that there's three write-ins, too. And they're like, well, wait a second, what? There's other candidates? The Courier-Journal did the same thing to us where they specifically, the only candidate they've really mentioned is the Nazi.
And every story that involves, you know, David Patterson almost seems to always involve the Nazi as well. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're trying
mm-hmm.
to group David Patterson with the Nazi.
Yeah. No, and that's make no mistake. I can't believe that that's accidental. I'm really, really frustrated with that because libertarians are very much not anti-Semitic. Libertarians don't group people by artificial classifications. We are against that. That is collectivism, and that is what we are at our core against. We believe each person is an individual, and an individual has to make their own way and make their own thing for themselves, and they can't be put into some sort of category without, you know, putting themselves there. So I get really frustrated with that kind of stuff. And I want to switch gears and talk about this because we got about 10 minutes left. And Randolph, you can hang here too because this is a good topic for you as well.
All right.
The problem with the lesser of two evils game. The lesser of two evils game where people are like, well, you know, I'd like to vote for you, but I have to vote for X to vote against Y. And over and over, man, and this race has been hilarious because we're hitting it. Usually in the past, we've gotten it mostly from Republicans. This year, I think we're actually getting more from Democrats at this point, where they really think that we're some sort of McConnell plant or some nonsense. I'm like, man, if one of the major parties was funding us, we'd have a lot more money than this because they have like $100 million they're blowing on this race. We've got like a total of like 30 grand wrapped up in this right now. You know, if one of them really thought there was an advantage for us to be in the race, they would be pumping a lot more money in, either directly or more likely indirectly, to do that. But I know where every cent of the money comes from. I mean, I watch this stuff. It's part of my job as the chair of the party. And no, there's no grand conspiracy here, folks. We're just different. We're libertarians. It's okay.
Well, make no mistake about it. If that were true, I mean, what can prove unequivocally that it is not true is this whole debacle with KEP wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
If Patterson were backed by either Democrats or Republicans or a single prominent Democrat or Republican, this would not be happening. David Patterson would not be excluded from the debate.
I'm very tempted to plunk down $120 myself for my own open records request from May of 2012 to November of 2012, just so I can see what was said about me internally by KET, whether or not they decide, well, you know, we're not going to have independents on because Randolph Vance made an idiot of himself, so we're just going to set new criteria from now on.
Well, and understand, anybody who wants a public records request from an organization can certainly do that. Any taxpayer organization. And Kentucky has one of the best open records laws. If you ask for it in electronic form, they basically can't charge you more than about $10, no matter how much data there is. And so that's the smart way to pull it off, is to ask for everything in electronic format. But,
really?
You know, in our case, in our case, they told us that if we wanted to get it in electronic format, that it would take an additional 2 days to get it in electronic format. And then after going through all the printed out stuff, included in the open records request was the email that explained how they collected all the data for the open records request. They put it all on a thumb drive and then printed it. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Couldn't you just sold me the thumb drive? Because that's what they told me. They're like, well, you know, if you want it, it'll take another couple of days so we can go buy a thumb drive, and it'll be like $7 or some nonsense on a thumb drive.
And Staples
like,
is a couple blocks down the road from them.
Right, I know. So, I mean, whatever. It's bureaucracy. They can do some of that stuff. But the reality is that, and I want to stay on the two-party thing, because my big issue here is the mindset of voters. I'm extremely frustrated that 53% of likely voters say the D's and R's suck, that 58% of Americans say the D's and R's suck, yet the majority of those people are going to vote for a D or an R. I mean, damn it, people, wake up. If you stop voting D and R, things will actually change. If you want to keep the same old crappy D and R folks, well, then keep voting D and R. Go ahead. But I, you know, here I thought that like 60% of Americans almost wanted something different.
I think,
you chime in on that one?
I think we need a Kentucky independent party.
It's been thrown around before. I don't know. You know, there has to be some change, and there is. I know another party that's spinning up. I got a phone call this week from somebody who's spinning up another party. I forget their name offhand. I apologize to them if they're listening. I'm not trying to not say your name. I honestly don't want to say it wrong. It's something about United American or American United or something. I don't know, and I don't want to mess it up, but there's all kinds of parties that are trying to start. We're at a point in our history where the DNR are both failing, and everybody knows it. But the problem is that as much as people want something different, they have to actually act to make it so. Because if you're going to go out and keep punching DNR no matter what, even though there may be a very qualified or a very good candidate that comes up, then you're going to discourage those good people from standing up and trying to take a stand against the D and the R. And that is extremely frustrating to me. Dave, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it is true that, you know, about 60%, you know, of Americans want to change. And I know, I understand your frustration. I know what you're getting at with, you know, but they keep voting D and R. I actually think that there is a tidal wave of change coming. I just don't think that it's happening as quickly as would be healthy for us as Americans, honestly. But I think a lot of those people aren't going to go in and vote for a D or R this time because they think they have to. I think they're fed up. I think that a lot of people that would otherwise vote aren't going to vote. And I think it may take them a while to wake up to the fact that they can go vote, you know, and vote their conscience. They just have to, as you very eloquently said, get over the fear, you know, of voting for someone other than that D or R.
The devil you know versus the devil you don't know.
Well, there is some of that. There's certainly some of that. And again, in part driven because the media is not doing their job to report, hey, these are your options. They don't have to report everything. They don't have to be completely equal time. But to completely cut out because they decided they weren't relevant is not cool. It's not good for American politics. It's not good for journalism. It's bad for the whole damn system. And it makes me really, really mad that people can call themselves journalists with a straight face and then intentionally misrepresent the election that's about to occur. More awkward silence.
I know, right?
We got 3 minutes, guys. Let's do this. Randolph, you want to give a 1 minute on whatever the heck you want to talk about? Do it.
The real problem is that if you have ideas that you know could actually bring solutions, the conspiracy doesn't want to hear those ideas because they're dangerous to the status quo. Anything like, you know, same-sex marriage because it's a property rights issue, it doesn't jive with their, oh, well, you know, marriage should be between a man and a woman. And anything like clean coal, well, coal's dirty. We can't keep burning coal. It causes global warming. You know, you can still burn coal and actually reduce the carbon emissions at the same time. That's the point of clean coal. Anyway,
yep. Okay.
That's my minute.
Nope, you're good for it. A minute. Anything you want.
All right. Well, actually, I'll switch gears for our listeners here real quick and act as the bring up a subject from before the break and act as the voice of dissent. I strongly disagree with your estimation that we should completely close the borders and quarantine off countries as a result of the outbreak. I think it is far more beneficial to look at the root causes of why people are coming here in the first place. Of course, that's something that Randolph, as you refer to it, the conspiracy, as I would refer to it, just be the majority in control, doesn't want us to do, because what we'll see is, if somebody's sick from another country and they can't get health care there, the best chance they probably have is to cross the border illegally into our country and seek health care, all which, by the way, they just made sure that you can get.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely some of that, too, going on. Yeah.
I think the Ebola scare is actually more a smoke and mirrors thing, you know, saying don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Be scared of Ebola. Yeah.
All right. Well, and we're about out of time.
And
what's
your one-minute rant about the conspiracy?
We're about out of time here, guys, and I need to run. So I want to thank you guys both for being on, and for some reason the dashboard's gone completely psychotic. But I just want to leave folks with this simple thing. Stop being afraid. Do the right thing. That's what we have to start doing. All of us have to start doing the right thing, because until we're willing to stand up and do the right thing, nothing's going to change. Nothing can change so long as we're not willing to do the right thing. And it's just extremely frustrating to me as somebody who tries very, very hard to encourage people to do the right thing, to see people repeatedly act against their own interests. I mean, it's just insane to me and frustrating. But, folks, that's the end of the show. And in theory here, if I get the dashboard to cooperate, we'll end. But, it's really upset. All right. Well, folks, thank you for tuning in to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. Tune in again next week for another edition. And, we'll continue to monitor the KET thing. I'm sure we'll have an update on that next week, one way or the other. And until next time, folks, tune in to the other shows on the network as well. Monday through Thursday, you have the other shows on the network are Dale the Truth and the Ed Springsteen Show. So until next time, folks, thank you, and have a good week.